church.
Good morning.
Thank you, Phil, for this opportunity of being able to minister again. Right, if you have a Bible, can you turn to Luke's Gospel, please? Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. And we read from verse 40. And the child Jesus grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. That is that every Jew had to go to Jerusalem at least three times in a year, and this was one of those festivals that they went to. When they had finished the days, they returned, and the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us, or dealt with us like this? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously," or the old version says, "with sorrow." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Let's have a moment's prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will open our ears and open our hearts to receive it today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will do what man cannot do today. Turn your words into words of life and words of spirit, and glorify Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lost Jesus. Have you ever lost anything? I know Pastor Eddie lost his phone a little while back, and lost, what else was it you lost? You're always losing stuff. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in Croydon, we brought 170 children down to Broadstairs for a Sunday school outing along with their parents. There were about five coaches of us. Invaded Broadstairs, and we lost a boy. A boy went missing. So we spent all the afternoon looking for this boy. We even got the police involved, and in the end, we found him about 20 yards away from us on the beach. He had joined another group and was enjoying himself. I remember, too, an incident stands out in my mind. I lost the church keys. I was pastoring then in Essex, in Leon Sea. And this bunch of keys had the church safe key on it. So it's quite important. And like that clip we saw a couple of weeks ago, I prayed about it. And during the night, the Lord showed me exactly where these keys were. In the morning, I got up. The day before I'd been down, I had an allotment then. And I'd been down on the allotment. And the Lord showed me clearly where these keys were. I got up in the morning early, went down, and there they were, laying just where he showed me. Amazing. Yeah. Luke's gospel is a gospel of lost things. He mentions it more than any of the other gospels. In fact, Lucy took us to the chapter where we read last week, it was Luke chapter 15, where we read that there was a lost sheep There was lost silver coin and a lost son. She mentioned that it was a chapter that was most frequently spoken on, or very frequently spoken on. But the amazing thing is that no matter how many times you hear something from the Word of God, from the same passage of Scripture, there's always something fresh, always something new from it. And didn't she do well last week, those of you that were with us? She really did well, and I just thank God for her. Jesus said in the same book of Luke, he said in chapter 19, he said, I've come to seek and to save the lost, the lost. He was referring to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a cheat and a swindler, but Jesus went to his home one afternoon, and the man had a complete conversion, turnaround experience, and people complained that Jesus went to this house of this man who was they called him a publican and sinner. He's a friend of sinners, they complained. This Jesus is a friend of sinners. And Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. He also said in that same book to his disciples, go and proclaim the word to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, Luke is the only person that has recorded this story in chapter 2 of Jesus being lost. Can you imagine that? Jesus being lost. I must say, I've never, in all my 45 years in ministry, I've never ever heard anyone speak from these verses on the fact that Jesus was lost. I don't know if anyone has here. I've heard them preach from the development of Jesus, that he grew in wisdom and so on, stature, and was full of the Spirit, and that he was subject to his parents and so on. I've heard plenty of preachers preach on the development of that and link it to our own spiritual development, but never in all my years have I heard anyone speak on these verses, the fact that Jesus was lost. We've read the story. I'll remind you, they went, as every Jewish family had to go, three times a year. But here they go on Passover, and they take Jesus with them. We read, there are three descriptions given for Jesus in those verses. One is a child, Jesus grew. Next is they took the boy Jesus with them. And a little further down, the mother says to Jesus, son, why have you dealt with us that? Now, I'll just leave that with you, but that's a thought that you can work. The child, the boy, there's three stages of development, and the son. Well, they took this son, they took him up to Jerusalem at Passover. We're told he was 12 years old. Well, it was really his bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah means bar, means son. Mitzvah means covenant or law. At the age of 12, every Jewish boy was recognized as he went through this ceremony of bar mitzvah. He was recognized as a son, bar mitzvah, a son of covenant, a son of Israel. He was a Jew. They recognized him, that he had become moved from being a child and a boy into manhood, or a son of the law, a son of Israel. Now, we read that these parents, they went a whole day's journey. And I want to remind you today that these parents made three discoveries. And discovery number one was that they had lost Jesus. Now think about it. We read they went a whole day's journey and they discovered they'd lost him. They lost him. Can you, and then they returned to Jerusalem, And you can imagine the Jerusalem Post with a headline in this paper, "Lost Jesus. Has anybody seen this missing boy?" You can hear the newsstand people shouting the news, "Anybody seen this boy? He's lost. He's missing." The local radio station announces the fact, "Jesus is lost. Has anybody seen this boy? He's been missing for 3 days." They went a whole day's journey before they discovered that he was missing. Now, in those times, people traveled in groups. There was the women would travel in a group, and the men would travel in their group, and the children and the young people would travel in their group. But it says they, at the end of the day, they discovered they missed him. Now, just picture that for a moment. End of a day. They'd gone a whole day. They must have sat down for 11s or 12s or lunch. They must have sat down for an afternoon break, had a loo break or something like that. There must have been several occasions during that day when they'd sat down together and talked together and drunk their tea and their coffee together, and they'd never missed him. But at the end of the day, they seek him among their friends and their fellowship, and he is not there. Not there. Discovery number one, they'd lost Jesus. Can I ask somebody here this morning, my friend, is Jesus real to you? Have you lost Jesus? Have you lost Jesus? Is he real to you? Oh, you might say, I come to this Pentecostal church. I sing all the hymns. I lean toward what they term these days spirituality. But I want to ask you this morning, have you Jesus in your life? Do you know him personally? Jesus said again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, he said this. He came to the city of Jerusalem, and he looked over the city, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you together like a hen gathers her chicks to her, but you would not. I want to work miracles with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be a friend with you. How oft I would have come to you and helped you and supported you and comforted you, but you would not." And friend, that could be possible today. You might have journeyed a whole life through. Our brother is 60-something today. He'd gone all those years. My friend, do you have Jesus with you? Do you have Jesus? These parents were told they went that whole day journey supposing he was with them. I want to say to you this morning, my friend, supposition can be a false premise. Can it be a false premise? There was a man in Acts chapter 16, he nearly killed himself because he thought all the prisoners of the prison had escaped. We read, he supposed that they all had escaped, and suddenly a voice came back, "Oh, we're all here. Do yourself no harm." And that man then asked a wonderful question, "What must I do to be saved?" Hallelujah. You don't hear that these days, do you? In Acts chapter 27, we read again. They're taking Paul with other prisoners to Rome. And they're on ship, and the ship is in trouble, and it pulls into a port and stays for a while in this port, waiting for calmer weather. And we read, when the captain of the ship felt or experienced that the south wind blew softly, supposing he had gained fair weather, set sail on that journey against the advice of the man of God. And it led to disastrous results. Supposing. Friend, are you one of those that suppose that Jesus is with you because you sing the right songs and you pray may be the Father's prayer, and you come to a Pentecostal church, I want to ask you, my friend, this morning, I feel it in my heart, has there been a time, has there been a moment in your life when you've invited Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life? Don't go through life supposing, my friend. I want to say to you today, you can really know him. You can know him as a friend. You can know him as your Savior. You can know him as your Redeemer this morning. Discovery number one, they'd lost Jesus. They'd lost Jesus. Discovery number two, they discovered that it was their own fault. Their own fault. They went back and they eventually found him in the temple. And when Mary and Joseph saw him, she said, "Son, why have you dealt with us like this? Why have you done this to us?" Friend, people are in the blame game today. They blame their upbringing. They blame their past. They blame the local council. They blame the government. They blame the church. They blame austerity. They blame anything. But in the final analysis, if we really looked deep within our hearts and lives, something is missing. There's a void there. And the Bible says we've all come short of God's standard, and he wants to bring life and peace into our hearts and into our lives, my friend. And they discovered, these parents, that it was their own fault, really. Really, discovery number one, they'd lost Jesus. Discovery number two, he wasn't there. Discovery number three, he was in a place where they least expected him to be. We read, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. That suggests to me that they'd gone everywhere else looking for him. And I don't know whether it was Joseph or whether it was Mary, but one of them said to the other, "Well, we've been everywhere else. Let's try the temple." And when they found him, there he was in the temple, in a place where they least expected him to be. And they said to Jesus, rather Jesus said to them, "Well, you ought to have known that I would be here." And just think for a moment. Angel Gabriel had appeared to Joseph. True, it was 12 years previous, or a bit further back than that, nearly 13 years. But he said, "The child that Mary's bearing, you're to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." And then there was Mary. She had sung that wonderful, amazing song we call the Magnificat. "Oh, my soul, magnify the Lord my God." And she had that encounter with Gabriel. And Gabriel reminding her that with God all things are possible. And then there was Simeon that came into the temple. And then there was Anna that had come in to the temple. And all had spoken amazing things about this son, Jesus. All relating to God and the kingdom of God. But that was way back in the past. Now, discovery one, they'd lost him. Discovery two, they found him. They discovered that it was their own fault. And discovery number three, they found him in a place where they least expected him to be. And he says to them, surely you must have known that I'd be about my Father's business. Friend, what is Father's business? Father's business is to seek and to save people that are lost. Lost to their way in life. Lost to themselves. Father's business is to heal, to restore, to fill lives of men and women like there are in this church this morning with the Holy Spirit, with the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. Father's business is spelt out in that prodigal story that we heard about last week. Father's love, he loves you. God is love, the Bible says. And Father's love is seen in that story. It was a love that was expecting. He was expecting his son to return. And I'm expecting somebody to come back to Jesus today. That's my prayer. That's my plea with Jesus. Oh, my friend. The father, we read, when he saw his son a long way off, he went to him. In other words, he had been looking for him, looking for him, looking for him. And Father is waiting for you, waiting patiently for you. The Bible tells us in Peter that the Lord waited in the days of Noah for people to come to the preaching or come to repentance or come to put themselves into the ark that Noah was building. Father's love is not only expecting love, but Father's love is a love that is expressed. We read, the Father ran to the Son and fell on him and kissed him. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon those that love him. Hallelujah. He ran to this boy, fell on the boy, kissed him. There was no words of rebuke. There was no words of condemnation. He hugged him. Father's love is an extravagant love. Yeah. It's an expecting love, and it's love that expresses itself in the way that Father shows us. We read that when we were without strength, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. We didn't deserve it, but he died for us. But here's Father's love, an extravagant love. What did he say? He didn't rebuke him. There was no words of condemnation. He said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Bring out the ring and put it back on his finger again. Give him shoes again. Hallelujah. And come, let's kill the fatted calf and let's have a party. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, my friend. Have you lost Jesus from your life, my friend? Let me tell you, there's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. There's no salvation, the Bible tells us, in none other than in the name of Jesus. We need Jesus. We need his presence. He makes all the difference to lives, my friend. He made all the difference to the wedding feast in Cana. He made all the difference there. He made all the difference to the disciples that were in trouble on board boat. They were in trouble, but Jesus made all the difference when he entered that boat. Jesus made all the difference to Martha. Martha, Martha, your brother has died, but I am the resurrection and the life. Praise his wonderful name. Jesus made all the difference to the home of Jairus that day. Jesus made all the difference to the home of Peter when his mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Jesus makes the difference, my friend. Hallelujah. How we need Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection in my life. Praise God. He's a way, the truth, and the life. Blessed be his wonderful name. Friend, look within your heart today. Have you Jesus with you? Have you his presence with you? Oh, I say to you this morning, long for his presence. Plead for his presence. David said, he said, oh, my soul and my flesh, it cries out for the living God. What a passion. Oh, friend, how we ought to, we need to long for the presence of Jesus and the because in this lonely world in which we live, my friend, we need a friend that sticketh closer, brother. We need the power of Jesus in our lives to live in these days in which we find ourselves. We need the peace of Jesus to give us the confidence and the assurance to live life today. Oh, my friend, let me remind you, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what have we? We have his words, we have his works, we have his ways displayed for us. In John's Gospel, we read this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. In John's Gospel, Jesus makes seven great statements. He says, I am. In John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am that bread that came down from heaven. And he makes this astounding statement. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and you drink of my blood, you have no life within you. Oh my goodness me. In chapter 6, we have the bread of life. In chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. If you come to me and walk in my light, you'll never walk in darkness. Praise his wonderful name. That's chapter 8. In chapter 10, we read, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd that gives my life for the sheep. Praise his wonderful name. In chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise his wonderful name. Chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life, he said to Martha. And he said this to Martha. He said, do you believe it? Do you believe it? And they stand. They stand outside Lazarus' grave. And here he is standing there. And he's turned to Martha and Martha said, oh, no. He's been dead 4 days. By now he's smelling. Jesus said, didn't I say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Wow. In chapter 5, I think it is, of John's Gospel, Jesus made this statement. He said, there's coming a day, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Hallelujah. And somebody has said, if Jesus had not said Lazarus before he said come forth, all the dead would have come forth. But he said, Lazarus, come out of death and darkness. And we read, he that was dead came out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's chapter 11, chapter 14. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to him but by the Father. In chapter 15, he's the vine. He said, I am the vine. You attach yourself to me, abide in me, and I in you. For without me, without Jesus, are you listening, friend? Without Jesus, nothing. 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 In chapter 8, Jesus made an astounding statement. He said to those people, I am, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. How do you understand it, my friend? I refers to a person. It's me here today, Derek. That's the person of Derek. I, said Jesus, he's the person. Am his presence. Hallelujah. I am here today. I am. Here's me. Here's me. Jesus said, this is it. I'm from eternity. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. I am the one that ever lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the Acts of the Apostles, he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. He's the risen and the ascending Lord. Peter said to those Jewish leaders, you killed the Prince of Life, but God hath raised this Jesus whom you killed. He's raised him up and he sent him forth to bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand clap if you want to. Blessed be his wonderful name. In Romans, he's the one by whom we are justified by faith. so that there is now no condemnation to us that are in Christ Jesus. We're told the first Adam brought death and destruction and disease, but the second Adam, Jesus, has brought us forgiveness and life, so that we reign in life today by one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he is that we are the temple of the living God, and he is the one that has washed us and sanctified us and justified us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the giver of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Corinthians tells us. He's the one who says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Galatians, Paul says, I've been crucified with this Christ. It's no longer I that live, but the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah, praise God. He's the one that sets us free, so that we can walk in the Spirit and live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and produce the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In Ephesians, he's the one that has made peace for us through the blood of the cross. He's the one that has broken down the middle wall of partition before us. In Colossians, he's the one that has in all things, he has the preeminence. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, he's the one that has taken and triumphed over principalities and powers of darkness. And he's taken everything that was written against us and our sin. And we read, he's nailed it to the cross. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. In Thessalonians, he's the one that's coming again for us. Blessed be God. In 1 and 2 Timothy and 5 Philemon, he's the one. Hallelujah. This is a faithful saying is written. This is a faithful saying and worthy of everyone's acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. Philemon, the Apostle Paul wrote, this man was unprofitable until he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, this man has become profitable to me. The minus became a plus. Hallelujah. And you can know it and do it the same this morning, my friend. In Hebrews, he's the best of the best. All glory to his wonderful name. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 8 times the Hebrews uses the personal name of Jesus. Glory to his wonderful name. Looking oft unto Jesus, is told, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's consider this man, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hebrews tells us we've not come to a mountain of noise and storm and tempest that makes us afraid, but we've come to Jesus. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. In 1 and 2, in James rather, we're told we can ask of him for wisdom, and he will give us that wisdom. We can pray for the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. In 1, 2, and 3 John, he's the one and only Son. Praise God. And in that Son, there is life. 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 We've heard it this morning. He said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. Praise God. He's the one. John tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jude, we're told he's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Revelation, he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. And as we find him in the center as a boy of 12, asking questions and receiving answers and being taught by those men of law back then, we find him in the center of heaven. Hallelujah. Receiving the worship, receiving the praise. Hallelujah. There's no one like him. And one day he's going to ride forth, the word of God says, as King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. But Revelation tells me this, that we shall see his face. We will see his face. All the joy, all the delight of those parents when they found Jesus. Hallelujah. And friend, that will be your experience this morning if you find him. They'd lost him. They'd lost him. Discovery number one. And maybe this morning you realize that you've been coming to this church all these years. You've been going through a religious act all these years. And he's missing from your life. Friend, he's in a place where you least expect him to be. You can find Jesus here today. Hallelujah. Really find him. Jesus said, I stand and I knock. And if any person would open their lives to me, I will come into them. Hallelujah. And bring about a change. God bless his word. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. 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 God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.